let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. The Amazon number one bestseller in medical history and social activist, called by Marlena Fiol and Ed O'Connor, is the true story of a handsome physician, a devout Mennonite nurse, and an Argentinian activist. Dr. John and Clara Schmidt are the Kansas Mennonites, who devoted their lives as medical pioneers in Paraguay, South America. Set against the backdrop of World War II, Nazi uprisings, political unrest in Argentina and Paraguay, and the scourge of leprosy left untreated, the Schmidts are called to a life of service in their fight against poverty, stigma, and social injustice, but at what cost? Marlena is a globally recognized author, scholar, speaker, holds a Ph.D. in strategic management from the University of Illinois, has taught in the faculties of New York University and the University of Colorado. The author of Nothing Bad Between Us, A Mennonite Missionary's Daughter Finds Healing in a Brokenness, and together with Ed O'Connor, Separately Together in Reclaiming Your Future, and their latest novel called The True Story, an Amazon bestseller. Ed O'Connor is an acclaimed author and scholar, inspirational speaker. He holds an MBA from the Harvard Business School and a PhD from the University of Akron, and has taught in the faculties at the universities of Georgia, Tennessee, Texas, and Colorado, as well as the Georgia Institute of Technology. And Ed O'Connor and Marlena Fiol, authors of Called, are guests on This Week in America. Welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us today.
Thank you, Rick, and thank you for that incredible introduction.
Great to be with you.
Well, it's such an impressive book that you've written. What a story that you've told. Let's start with the very basics here. What was it about the lives of the Schmidts that really led to this book called?
You know, much has been written about the Schmidts in books, articles, but mostly it's been, the audience has been a Mennonite audience or medical audience, and our desire was to take their story, which is truly an inspiration for our world today, and to take it out to a much broader audience.
You know,
it's an adventure story. It's a love story. It's
political intrigue.
About political intrigue, but I think above all, it's an inspiring story of what two people can accomplish in the world today. And it's the world is hungry for that kind of story, we believe.
Well, and you're bringing that out there so well. The book is called, you'll find it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, the usual places. I'll give you all that information as we go through the program. What was it that drove, particularly to Dr. John Schmidt, what drove him to take on basically what most people felt at the time, seemingly impossible task?
It was a combination of love of God and desire to serve others, and as well as a crazy desire for adventure and risk-taking. And this was a very potent mixture.
Yeah, these are two people, three people who found the world unacceptable. And rather than just babble on about it with their friends, they withstood antagonism and conflict in order to bring about change.
Let's sort of set the table for this time period. Now, the story called goes over with a six-decade period, but during when the story begins, what was going on in the world? I mentioned some of the things. A lot of turmoil in the world, wasn't there?
Yeah, it begins in 1941 during the beginning of World War II, and this young doctor from Kansas makes his way to an unknown country. He knows nothing about Paraguay, and he's going to be a pioneering doctor for Mennonite immigrants in Paraguay. And what he faces is just absolutely unbelievable to many Mennonites, because I don't know how many of your listeners are familiar with Mennonites, but one of the key principles of Mennonite faith is pacifism and not serving in wars. And yet John Schmidt, as he arrives in the Mennonite colony in Paraguay, South America in 1941, faces the majority of Mennonites there supporting Nazism and believing that Hitler will win and will allow them to get back to Germany, to their farms, their Russian farms and their home in Germany. and to get out of the hellhole in the Chaco that they find themselves in.
Yeah, to provide a little support for why they may have seen the world that way. They had been in the Chaco in far west Paraguay for about 10 years, and they were starving to death down there. They were dying of disease. They had no real medical support until Dr. John showed up for these 10 years. And they were just desperate to get out of there.
Yeah, it's an area of Paraguay that at the time was considered nearly uninhabitable other than for nomad Indian tribes.
Talk about what he encountered, what they encountered. I mean, there was, he took on Nazism, corrupt governments. Talk about that. This was not like they're going in, going to do good, and everybody is there and supportive. That really wasn't the case, was it?
No, it definitely was not, and that's true with each of three major stages of their life. Marlena has mentioned the Nazism problem in the Chaco, as well as the incredible harsh conditions. They also faced significant resistance in the next decade of their lives. Clara and John founded a leprosy station in another area of Paraguay, and there was significant resistance to the style of treatment that they believed was necessary and appropriate.
They were basically revolutionaries in their time. In 1951, when they founded the leprosy hospital in Paraguay, the treatment for leprosy around the world was to lock up patients with leprosy. They were treated like criminals, like animals. And John and Clara believed that these people were not lepers. They were people like you and I with dignity who had a disease called leprosy. And they fought to treat these people in their homes. And as Ed just said, they met with so much opposition from their sponsors in the U.S., from the American Leprosy Mission, from the government of Paraguay. And it took a full decade before their revolutionary treatment became the accepted treatment, not only in Paraguay, but now around the world.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, medical pioneers, that they were in the true sense, that large part because of what they've done, their pioneering medical work, that leprosy is no longer the dreaded mystery it once was. So there was a lot of landmark work that went into their calling. The book is called The True Story. Marlena Fiol and Ed O'Connor, the co-authors, are guests on the program. Book available at Amazon, all of the usual places. Marlena's website is MarlenaFiol.com. I'll give you all that's going to be, by the way, on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Their website is called asaga.com. And let's talk about that for a second, because this is a real interactive website, isn't it? You can go there, learn a lot, get the background on the full story, and input some of your story as well.
That's correct. There are still a number of people in the world who remember John and Clara Schmidt, and there are certainly many people who were affected by their service. And so it is interactive in the sense that people can share their memories, their recollections. Some of them can share the way that John Schmidt would ruffle feathers. He had a way of...
He made a lot of waves. His wife came along behind him and smoothed things over.
He was a stubborn man who pushed his way through, and maybe... just maybe that is sometimes what's needed to create lasting change.
And let's talk about the evolution of his wife as she goes through and sort of shy in the beginning and becomes her own woman. Talk about her evolution as she goes through this journey alongside John.
Rick, I just love the way you have read that story and that you got it about Clara. She started out as a shy Kansas farm girl. She worked her way through and got a nursing degree. 5 days after she received her nursing degree, she married John Schmidt, whom she had met. Basically, they had a courtship via mail, and it took 3 months from letters to get from Paraguay, where John was at the time, to Kansas, where Clara still was. They were engaged by mail. She married this man, and the day after their wedding, they took off for Paraguay. And yes, the trajectory of her life You got it exactly, Rick. She became a fierce pioneer by his side, and was very much a part, a very important piece of that partnership.
What's interesting,
it's interesting that you asked that question, and Marlena answered it with such enthusiastic energy. It turns out that the subject of Clara's life and that transition is the subject of a YouTube episode that we're going to record today and that will go up about a month from now on our YouTube channel.
Interesting. Now, how do we find the YouTube channel? Because I know, Marlena, you're very active on social media, but YouTube in particular. How do we find you there?
Marlena Fiol, and the title of the channel is Becoming Who We Truly Are.
And we'll have all that on our website as well, thisweekinamerica.us. Book available, Call the True Story, an Amazon bestseller. You'll find all the information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. As John and Clara in particular, going through all of this, they're doing so much good. They have this conviction. They're seeing progress that's being made despite all the turmoil they're going through. They're parents at the same time. And I know Clara struggled with that, concerned about being good parents. Talk about parenting and being called to something like this at the same time.
I think I probably need to answer that, given that I was one of eight of their children. It's often true that when we really and truly focus on something, that other things get left behind. And there is no doubt that their children were mostly raised by maids and people in the home while they were doing God's work. They were out treating patients and founding hospitals. Nevertheless, there was some very important kernel of love and dignity that they brought to their family, because every one of us eight children love and admire our parents to this day. I had a particularly difficult journey. My father was abusive when I was young, and I was a very sinful girl in a Mennonite community, and my memoir traces our journey to forgiveness and reconciliation. But the fact is, we did journey toward reconciliation, and I think there's just a real important message there that we all fail as parents. But if there is a lasting kernel of love there, there's the opportunity to move forward, to reconcile, and for deep intimacy and closeness.
You might say just a few words about the things your father and you always said to each other in the last 30 years or so of his life, the way
yeah.
they parted.
So, Rick, this wouldn't be part of Called, so you may not know this, but in the memoir, I describe what my father and I said to each other every time we said goodbye for the last two decades or so of his life after we reconciled. It was a way of validating the healing that had happened between us. And so our native, my native language, as well as my father's native language, is the Mennonite Low German. It's called Plotich. And we would say to each other before we would say goodbye every time, Du es nusch fashionans. And what that means is there's nothing bad between us, which is the title of my memoir.
You know, there's so many lessons as you read Called that I'm thinking, boy, they were valuable lessons then, valuable lessons today in this polarized world that we live in. Are there lessons that you believe that as we're reading Called, we should take into account and implement in our lives today?
I'll say a few words, and I'm sure Ed will jump in here as well. I think that in particular, during this time of COVID, there are some lessons. I'm no expert on COVID, and I'm not an expert on leprosy, but having lived through a few years of the virus and having researched and written about leprosy, it's an environment of fear and distrust and misinformation and divisiveness that doesn't allow for solutions to emerge. And that was true for the fight against leprosy in the early 1950s. And I think it's true today. We don't listen to each other. And there's therefore very little room for innovative new solutions to emerge.
Another slant on an answer to your question, Rick. These were two people who, through selfless service, changed the world. Changed the world they lived in and changed the world we live in. And I think so often we expect other people to solve the problems. Why hasn't government solved the problems? Why hasn't fill in the blank solved the problems? And it may be that we need to solve those problems, each of us in our own pot of existence.
As you say, that's what they did. I don't want to talk about that strength of conviction, because as with all of the roadblocks they encountered, it would have been pretty easy to say, maybe this is not God's will. Maybe we should not go through with this. But they did, and they did so successfully. More with Marlena Fiol and Ed O'Connor, authors of Called a True Story, right after these messages. Welcome back. You're listening to This Week in America. Our guest on the program, Marlena Fiol and Ed O'Connor, author of Called a True Story, Amazon number one bestseller and medical history and social activist, talking about what Dr. John and Clara Schmidt went through, the strength of conviction. Where did that come from? As you're reading the story, so many times they could have turned around and said, this was just not meant to be. I just don't think we can accomplish this. Where did that strength come from?
Well, I think if they were here, right now, and you asked John and Clara that question, they would say it was our faith in God and our belief that this is God's will for our lives. We can add to that, he particularly was a very, very stubborn human being. And if he believed something was right, nothing could get in his way. And so this was a big piece of it, is a personality. There was a belief in God, no doubt, absolutely. They were selfless servants, but they believed in the dignity of the underserved in Paraguay, and nothing could stop them from serving them.
Well said.
As they're going through their lives and accomplishing so much, literally changing the world that they were living in, did they understand what they were doing? At the end, did they look back and go, well done, we weren't sure what was going to happen, but we really did a service? Were they aware of what they accomplished?
Rick, that is such a great question. Go ahead, Ed.
I was simply going to say, no, they didn't. Dr. John particularly never could do enough. Unless he was out on the edge of adventure, unless he was out on the edge of, I'm not sure this is going to work, I don't think he felt fully alive. And as he aged, while they had established hospitals in remote areas, while they had expanded hospitals, while they had saved communities using their own time and money on 2-3 occasions,
it was never enough.
It was never enough. And I think he was saddened as the years came toward an end that he couldn't continue to do that kind of work.
What was it like working on this story, Called a True Story, from your personal experiences as well as doing the research? I think you had like 740 interviews and pages of documents that you went through to put this together. It's based on historical fact. And you made this history come alive. How challenging was that to bring this story to life? And as we're reading the story, we can see these people in our mind as the story unfolds.
How challenging was it? It was a privilege. Rick, during this interview, I have listened to Marlena answer questions and I've had tears in my eyes. And I say that because so often doing the research, I wound up with tears in my eyes. These were extraordinary human beings. Their record of their life is in library archives. It's in personal diaries and letters that they passed on to their daughter, asking her to write about their life. It is inspiring, from my point of view, to interview people who remember them and who we have interviewed within the past year or two who are still alive, who remember them. And so a privilege.
I'll just add a note about our personal process of writing. We've been writing together for 30 years. We were previously, as you said in the introduction, we were faculty in a business school, and we were consultants, and we wrote research articles together for decades. And so we've got a process going here, and Ed takes the lead on the research, and I take the lead on writing first drafts, and then I ship it over to Ed, and he critiques the draft, and then we fight a lot about it.
That happened yesterday.
And then the outcome is always one that we both love more than what it was before we fought about it. So it's a great process. It doesn't always feel good, but it's a really good process.
Well, what you didn't say in the introduction, Rick, is that we are married to each other and have been together for a long time.
Yes.
And it is a key piece of our relationship, working together. And I don't know that that would work for most married couples, but we are together. We were together before COVID, and we were together every moment of the day. We lived together. We slept together. We had offices next to each other. We wrote together, et cetera, et cetera. And it works for us.
A major accomplishment.
Blessed.
Living together, working together, writing together, and the result is a number one best-selling book called A True Story. Marlena Fiol, that's F-I-O-L, Ed O'Connor, the co-authors, and husband and wife, and our guest on the program today. It's interesting, we so often think of somebody that has a calling, and they're consumed with that calling, probably life goes on all around them, but you really bring out in Called the deep sacrifice that goes into having a calling. Talk about that, not only for the person involved with the call, but those around him. And Marlena, you know that firsthand.
Yeah, I would say that the issue of a calling is an interesting one. I think we often think that people with grandiose visions and very perfect people in every way have a calling. These were flawed people. They were great heroes who felt called, and they were broken in many ways. And I think that one of the messages in this story for all of us, including Ed and me, as we've written it and lived through researching it, is that very broken and flawed, ordinary people can accomplish the extraordinary if they have the vision and the purposeful life that leads them to accomplish what they set out to do.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned that. I was going to close in that comment. We sometimes think these people that accomplish great things are perfect people. We have a tendency to put them up on a pedestal and think they're a little bit different than we are. These were flawed people that accomplished extraordinary things, didn't they?
You said it well.
It's just an amazing story that Marlena and Ed bring to life and Called A True Story. What are you working on now? The two of you working together? I mean, you've written a number of books together, very prolific. Are you working on another book?
We are. It's an inspirational book about the healing power of confronting our hidden fears and failings. It's essentially, it's a collection of linked vignettes that are, some would call them outtakes from Called, outrageous adventure stories, mostly focused on John Schmidt. But looking at the inner life of this person who was really somewhat of a tragic hero. On the outside, he was a stubborn, no-nonsense pioneer, but there were hidden inner demons that very few know about. We have many diaries and letters, and what we want to do is trace that inner life and really inspire readers to look at the fears and the failings that we sometimes don't want to confront within our own selves.
Sounds like another fascinating book, and hopefully we have a chance to talk about that as well. The time has gone by so quickly on the program today. The book we're talking about is Called, It's a True Story, Amazon number one bestseller in medical history and social activist. The authors, the co-authors, our guest on the program, Marlena Fiol, that's F-I-O-L, and Ed O'Connor. You'll find the book at all the usual places, Amazon, of course, Barnes & Noble. Marlena's website is marlenafiol.com. The website for the book is called asaga.com. All of that on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Marlena and Ed, a pleasure having you on the program. We'd love to do this again. Thank you for being with us.
Rick, thank you.
Thank you so much for having us, Rick. It's a pleasure.
Well, it's a pleasure having you on the program. And the book, once again, is called A True Story. You'll find it at all the usual places. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.